If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm just going to read, we'll go ahead and read four verses, beginning in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 32. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. My title today, Paul, another, is The Lord Does for His People. The Lord Does for His People. Before I get started, I do have another quote here from Spurgeon, which I thought was real good. My faith rests not in what I am, or shall be, or feel, or know, but in who Christ is, what he has done, and in what he is now doing for me. I like that. I like that. And that's kind of what we're going to go into today. I was going to share something else with you. I was listening to Henry on the way up here last week, and I thought, well, this is a great thing to hear just as you're coming up. He said, do you know what the scariest part of preaching is? The scariest part of being a preacher and preaching. Well, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you anyway. Even if you do know, I'm going to tell you anyway. It's the fact when you realize that people are listening to you. That's scary. They're paying attention to what you say. I remember Earl talking about it one time. Scott Richardson was coming down, and Earl was going up to preach, and Scott Richardson looked at him and said, now remember, you're speaking for God. And Earl said, that's a fine thing to say when I'm going up there. And I thought to myself, well, Scott knew how to cheer people up, you know. But anyway, that is the scariest thing about preaching, when you realize people are listening to you. But, be that as it may, I hope we're listening today. Today I've got four things here in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10 that the Lord does for his people. As he calls it, his portion. What the Lord has done, the Lord is doing. What he's done for one of his people, he does for all of his people. And that's just the truth of it. As the psalmist said in Psalm 66 and verse 16, it says, come and hear. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. For my soul. Well, it starts in verse 9. The Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Listen. The children of God, his people, are important to God. To God. Now, let's be clear. Not in themselves. Not in ourselves. But they are important to God. But that's because of who they belong to. His people belong to the Lord. And specifically, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are important to God. It's not anything of ourselves. It's all in His Son. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the believers are the Lord's portion. His part. Oh, I like that. Now, here's the great thing about this, if you think about it. We are and always have been His possession. His possession. This is not a new thing. Oh, it's not a new thing at all. I know people talk about that old time religion. Well, usually the people who talk about that nowadays have no idea what they're talking about. Because the old time religion, you could not get away from the gospel of God's complete and utter sovereignty in salvation. And now it's where'd you all get that new doctrine? What are you talking about? I've never heard that before. Well, it used to be around. It's not now. Not like it used to be. But here, you know, an Arminian used to be a strange thing. People who believed in free will and believed they got saved by their free will. I'm going to tell you something. That's not what the scripture says. And that's what we're going to go into right here. We are and always have been His possession. First in covenant love before the world began. Chosen in Christ before the world began. From the foundation. Oh. Then in real purchase, redemption, and then in time, in bringing many sons to glory. In verse 10, we are told the four ways God brings in the sons and daughters of God. What God does for us in salvation. His salvation, not man's salvation, His salvation. First of all, He finds His people. He finds His people. Now for us, this is where it starts. We don't know anything about God truly until He finds us. We don't care anything about God truly until He finds us. That's the truth of it. In the beginning, before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ, you know, God knew all about that. It's written in here. He told us. But we didn't know anything about it, not in truth, not in reality, until He finds us. That's the first thing. And this is where it starts for us. This is where it starts for all of us, the believers. We are told what the Lord has done for His portion. I like that. Listen, in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, says this, "Then drew near unto Him, unto Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him." And you know what? Religious people didn't like that. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Amen. You know? The only thing I got to say about that is thank God. You know? Because that's where I am. That's what I am. Oh, my. This man receiveth sinners. However, right after these men said that, and Christ heard them. Christ knew what was in their hearts when they said it. He didn't need anybody to tell Him what was in a man's heart. Oh, no. But right after that, after the Pharisees and scribes murmured, He spoke to them in a three-part parable. All right? The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, I'm only going to deal with the first two just for a minute. This is not going to be long. It's not going to be deep theological thought or anything, the fact. But here you go. All right? The first two parts teach us that He, the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has to find His people. That's what it shows us. "What man of you having 100 sheep, this is verse 4, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" he find it. And when he hath found it. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord's looking for you, he's going to find you. Matter of fact, he knows where you are before he starts looking for you. But there's a time, in the fullness of time. Oh my, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. Oh, there's the whole point. It's my sheep. It's my sheep, which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth and over the 99 just persons that needeth no repentance. And then the next part of this parable is exactly the same, only more so. And what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she's found it, she rejoices. Oh my. Likewise I say unto you, is verse 10, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Oh. Now, I don't know if you noticed in those two parts of that parable, because this is just one parable. But in those two parts of the one parable, repentance is inextricably tied to him finding you. Repentance is not of man. Repentance must be granted. That's what the scripture says. Peradventure that he should grant them repentance. That's what it means. Grant them. Give them. You understand? The lost coin is an inanimate object. It couldn't find anything. It had to be found by the owner. The owner. I like that, you know. And the lost sheep is a dumb animal. I'm not being disrespectful to sheep. I'm not being disrespectful to you. That's what we are. We were so dumb we didn't know we were lost. We were so dumb we didn't know we were dead. And nothing with that changes until he finds you. But when he finds you, it changes. You understand? That sheep rejoiced to be back in the fold, to be in the fold, carried there. Why? I mean, he didn't tell the sheep, go over there, you dumb thing. He picked it up, put it over his shoulders, and he carried it home. That is the picture of what it means when he said he found Jacob. That's what he's talking about. Well, not only that, he found him in a desert land. Not even in the wilderness. In the waste howling wilderness. Excuse me. That's the world, folks. That's the world. A waste howling wilderness. A desert. Where does it say Mephibosheth used to be? Lodabar. What? A place of no bread. That's where you are before Christ finds you. That's where every single one of us is. Because I'm going to tell you something. There is no sheep food in the world. There's no food. There's plenty of goat food. You understand? Now I'm not going to go into that. There's a lot of sheep trying to eat goat food right now. That's what I'm afraid of. But you understand, that's a fault of the shepherd. But it's no fault in our Lord Jesus Christ. When he goes out to find his sheep, he brings it in. It is, and it is in. You understand, the lost sheep cannot find the shepherd. The lost coin cannot find the woman that owned it. They have to be found. Amen. And who finds us? The Lord's portion is his people. What did it say? He found him.
God's got to find his people. God's got to find his people. Or they'll never be found. And that's just the truth of it. And the opposite of found is lost. That's just the way it is. I mean, the shepherd, God bless his word. The shepherd knows his sheep. He said, which one of you fellows having a sheep? And it gets lost. Won't go find it. He said, I have found my sheep. That's what the good shepherd says. I found my sheep. It was mine when it was lost. And it's mine now that it's found. It always was my sheep. And I'm going to find my sheep. Oh, I like that. The shepherd knows his lost sheep and he goes looking for that sheep. And I love how it says it. When he finds it, he's going to find it. He's going to find it. He is going to find every one of his sheep. Oh, and thank God for that too. Oh my. The sheep aren't seeking the shepherd. They're too busy being sheep. They're just trying to eat. Wherever they are, that's what sheep do. They're trying to eat. Oh my. And he brings it to the fold. And here's the glorious part. This is just amazing to me. He rejoices. He rejoices. And he wants others to rejoice. Calls his friends, families, hey, I got my sheep. Oh, what? For the Lord's portion is his people. Is his people. Oh, I like that. The Lord Jesus Christ is finding his people, and the Lord Jesus Christ is happy when he finds his people. Deuteronomy 32. That's where we're at. The Lord Jesus Christ is happy. Listen to this. The found child of God is happy. You might not even know you're lost, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be happy when you're found. Isn't that a thing? You know? I was found of them that sought me not. I know what that means. It means he finds his people. That's what it means. I was found of them that sought me not. Oh my, I like that. I do. Because that gives me hope. That he's going to find me. He's going to find me. What did he say? For I have found my sheep. My sheep. That was lost, but it's my sheep. And I found it. Oh my. What did Jesus Christ say about that? When he said, I am the good shepherd in John 10, he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Wait a minute. Them also I must bring. So what's he going to do? He's going to bring in his other sheep in. They're his. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be, no question about this, one fold and one shepherd. And that's it. You can take these denominations and throw them out the window. They don't mean a thing to God. They used to mean something as far as doctrine went. They don't mean much of that anymore. You know, I got tickled. I was listening to Henry talk about confessions of faith. You know, the London Confession of Faith, the Philadelphia Baptist Confession. See, all these confessions are great. They're perfectly worded. We could use them right here, except for maybe throw out that thing about baptizing kids, you know, babies. But people don't believe them. They don't preach them. And the people being preached don't want to hear it. And that's just the way it is. And here's the thing. True doctrine will follow
being found. Not the other way around. Doctrine without being found is just dead and dry as everything else. But after you're found, oh my, his doctrine starts to be music to your ears. Oh, here's the thing. What Christ was telling those Pharisees and scribes in Luke 15, you know, this man does receive sinners. But that ain't all. This man finds sinners. I like that. He finds his people. He finds his people. Secondly, in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 32, he leads his people. The Lord Jesus Christ leads his people, and they follow me. It's what he said. They follow me. Psalms 37 and verse 23 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And, I like it, he delighteth in his way. Oh, that's good. You understand, the Lord leads us whether we see it, whether we feel it, whether even we know it. He leads his people. He leads his people. He finds his people and he leads his people. You understand? What is it? For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members are of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And he's the head of his body. Guess what? His body is going to go exactly where the head says it's going to go, whether we know it or not. He's the head of the body. He leads his members, all of his members, and he puts his members exactly where he wants them. That's in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them. I like that too. Every one of them. Every one of them. Oh, in the body as it has pleased him. So, now ye are of the body of Christ and members in particular. That's 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Members in particular. You know that old question philosophers still ask? Why am I here? Well, there's your answer. If he's found you and he's leading you, you're exactly where he wants you.
Amen.
You may not know why you're here. You may not. I said it last week. I wasn't planning on being up here preaching. That wasn't part of my plan, such as it was or such as it wasn't. But this is an easy question for believers. I'm where God wants me. And that's the truth. Sometimes you don't like your circumstances, but you're right where God wants you. And I thank God for every one of you. I'm glad you're here. I don't know what circuitous route you had to take to be here, or even to stay here. Because most of us have been together for a few decades. Well, everybody that's here, I've known for a few decades. And we're still here. And you know why we're here? Because here's where we want to be. He put us here. He put us here. Oh my. What did he say? John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. I know them. And they follow me. Oh, I like that. Yes, by his word and by his power, he leads his people. Now the third thing, he instructs his people. I got to thinking about this, and I thought about something that I'd heard. I remember it was one of the first things that struck me when I first started reading the gospel 30-some years ago, whatever it is, 35, 37. Anyhow, no, what is this? This is 2023, right? This is 41 years ago. Wow. Anyhow, this phrase struck me. It's recorded in the scripture 8 times. 3 times in Matthew, 3 times in Mark, and 2 times in Luke. And the phrase is this: he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I like to say let him hear. Not just let him hear. No, let him hear. Because the implication from this statement is clear. Not everybody has hearing ears. You understand? Christ said he spoke in parables so that some people wouldn't understand. Now, I've heard the exact opposite preached many times, and some yahoo put it in a song in the middle. Now, the Lord spoke in parables so that all might understand. That's not what he said. He said, I speak in parables so that some will not understand. And religious people don't like that. But I do. I do. That's what he said. And you know the reason he said it? Is because that's what he meant. Oh, it's what he meant. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 4. Yet the Lord, wondering who we're talking about, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and here we go, ears to hear unto this day. Where do you get ears to hear? They have come from God. Stephen preached that and got stoned. You uncircumcised in heart and ears, you, what happens to those who are uncircumcised in heart and ears? What happens to those who don't have ears to hear? You do always resist the Holy Ghost just like your fathers. Just like the world. Just like my relatives. Just like your relatives. That's what happens. But he instructs his people, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. And he will. He will. Oh, without a heart to perceive, without eyes to see and ears to hear, there is no instruction. And he instructs his people. Oh, my. Because the opposite of that is true. With a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear, there is instruction from the Lord. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and he did, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And what's his Son say? What the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, him said, let he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh. And he also said this, which I said, my sheep hear my voice. Oh. And a stranger they won't follow. Because they don't know the voice of a stranger. What does he tell us in Luke 24? He opened their understanding of the Scripture. Of the Scripture. We've got His Scripture right here. And He'll open your understanding of the Scripture. He instructs His people by His Holy Spirit. He's going to take the things of mine and what? Show them to you. Guess what? That's instruction, folks. That's instruction. Oh, my. I remember there was one in the epistles. Paul said, you know, there's princes and kings and whoever
wanted to know some of these things. But God's revealed them to us. He's instructed us.
Titus 2 and verse 11 puts it this way. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And a lot of people want to stop right there and say, there it is. The gospel's for everyone. Read the next verse. Teaching who? Us. Teaching us. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I can tell you right now, the world hasn't learned that. But now the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's true. But it only teaches us. Why? Because He instructs His people. Oh my. Believers, His portion. He instructs His people. Now the fourth thing, the last thing. In verse 10, again. He kept him. He kept him. Oh my. We believers who have to be found, okay? Who need to be led and who need to be instructed. We also need to be kept. Because if it was up to us, we'd fall away. And that could be falling away into the religion. That could be falling away into the law. Oh. But God keeps His people. Oh, I like that. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps His people. You know why? Because they are His portion and His lot. They're His property. He purchased them with His own blood. And not a drop of that blood's gone to waste. He finds His people. He leads His people. He instructs His people. And He keeps His people. Oh. Yes, we love and we trust Him. Nevertheless, that doesn't keep us. He keeps us. He keeps us. Oh, He keeps His people. Christ said it Himself. John 17 and verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them. That's what He said. I kept them. The 12 apostles couldn't keep themselves. Matter of fact, one of them didn't. That's what He says here. Those that Thou, what is it here, is He? I kept them. In Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept. Just in case you weren't sure the first time He said it. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Those 11 disciples, those 11 apostles, they didn't keep themselves. He kept them. Oh. And you think you're better than them, keep right on thinking that, because you're wrong. If you're silly enough to think that, I ain't got nothing to tell you. I can't help you. Because Jesus Christ keeps us in the name of the Father, who gave us to Him. And even better, sometimes I think, gave Christ to us. We are in Him. Oh, that's what it means when He brings in His sheep. When He finds His sheep, throws it up on His shoulder, He takes it to His home. And that home becomes the sheep's home. I talked about that last week. A strong inhabitation. Oh, I like that. And here it is. Well, let's see. Yeah, let me look for just a second here. 1 Peter. There we go. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's being found and led and instructed all at one time. That's pretty good. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here we go. Two. You understand? You're begotten to something. You're found to something. What? To an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, where they're rejoicing when he found you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. You understand? People God saves are happy that God saved them. Oh, they know they can't save themselves. Oh my. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. True Christianity, true belief in Christ, true faith in Christ, is not all sunshine and rainbows. There are valleys we have to walk through. This world. In this world you will suffer tribulation. And that's just the truth. And yet we can rejoice in him. We can rejoice in him. Why? Because he keeps his people. We are begotten to an inheritance that's incorrupted, an inheritance that's undefiled, an inheritance that is not of man. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So verse 9 says, an inheritance that will never fade away. Because he keeps his people. He keeps his people. So, the Lord's portion is his people. They are his inheritance. His inheritance. Believers are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that. Now, understand, he says Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He said this very carefully. You understand? Because here's what he didn't say. He didn't say Israel is the lot of his inheritance. He said Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Who? Jacob the usurper. Oh, my. Jacob, the one who ran away, scared of his brother. Jacob, who on his way back was scared to face his brother. That's the lot of the Lord's inheritance. Oh, I like that. You understand, Jacob is not a... How do you put this? Jacob is not the picture of the victorious Christian life. Jacob was not a very pleasant person, I don't think, at times. I can identify more with Jacob than I can with Israel. Yeah. Prince with God. I know more about being a usurper and scared than I know about being a prince with God. Because that's where we are. That's where we are. But I do know this. Believers are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Chosen in him. The Lord's portion is his people, and his people are in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Chosen in him, found by him, led by him, instructed by him, and kept by him. Oh, I like that. I can fit in there.
Oh, I like that. I read it last week. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I like that. I do. You understand, this is the Lord Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. It is His salvation that we have been given. Yes, I can say it's my salvation. O thou God of my salvation, my Redeemer from all sin, moved by thy divine compassion, you have died, what, my soul to win. Yes, that's true. But you see it. It's His salvation. He gives it to His portion. His chosen lot. You know why? Because He's sovereign.
Amen.
He's sovereign in salvation. In the purchase of it and in the application of it. It's not what you do. It's what He does. Now, you will do some things because of what He has done. There's a walk. There is. But He keeps you.
Yeah. Amen.
He keeps you. Otherwise, you wouldn't walk. Oh, I like that. He'll instruct you. And you'll walk. But you understand, it's all from Him, not from you. Look at this. This is verse 4, Deuteronomy 32. Look at this. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Oh, I like that. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. That's good stuff. You understand? His work is perfect. What work does He tell us about a little later on in that chapter? He finds us, He leads us, He instructs us, and He keeps us. And you know what? His work is perfect. That's His work. Oh, I like that, I like that, I like that. You understand? His people are perfect. Not in themselves. In Him. In Christ. Oh. In Christ, the Father can look at you and not want to strike you dead. Because that's all we deserve other than outside of Christ. Without Christ. Oh my. But His work for His people, His work in His people is perfect. Everything about His people are perfect except themselves. In my flesh still dwells no good thing. But His work is perfect. In my mind, then I find a law in my members where the Spirit warring against the flesh. But His work is perfect. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? His work is perfect. Oh, I like that. I do. Oh, the Lord does for His people. The Lord does everything for His people. Needful for their eternal salvation that He gives them. What do we say about that? Well, the Lord is the rock. And the Lord is my rock. Oh, just and right is He. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this. Your salvation, the gift You've given to us in Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, purchased with His own blood our redemption, our sanctification, our justification. Oh, He is everything unto us. Thank You, Lord, because we needed everything from You.
And we ask that you would bless Paul as he comes to speak to us, and Walter where he is. Lord, give him the words we need to hear today to preach your gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.